Well, welcome home, church, into our time of prayer and praise. I was reminded this morning of how thankful I am just being in this place and wondering, what would it be like if all this was taken from us? I mean, we have the privilege of communion together and worshiping with this awesome team. We're meeting in a public place, people. That's amazing when you look around the world to see people can't even worship openly. We're blessed, and we have a lot to be thankful for. And I wonder if we knew how easily all that could be taken from us, how different our posture would be this morning. Would we be on the edge of our seats waiting to hear the next scripture because we didn't have a Bible we could read? Would we be on our knees in prayer? I don't know, it just came to mind this morning. What would I do differently if I knew this was my last time to be able to worship openly and with a community of people because it was all taken away from me? And I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on any of you, please don't hear that. But just check your heart this morning. If God is really so great, then let's show him how great he really is in our posture. Well, my name is Tammy, and I want to invite you all to send your prayer requests in and your praises, because every week we have over a dozen people who pray for you and with you in any circumstance you have. There's nothing too trivial or too big for us to pray for or our God to hear. So if you want to do that, you can send your request into prayer@restore.church, and we'll make sure that gets to the prayer team and we will pray for you. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're trusting that those are true words and that he's going to hear us and answer. This week we had some praises come in for financial provision and a job position change. And so we want to thank God and praise him for that. So in light of the challenge I gave you this morning, we're going to go to a position of prayer. So however you want to do that and you're comfortable, if you have room and you want to get on your knees, if you want to raise your hands, if you just want to bow your head and close your eyes, I invite you to pray with me. God, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts. You are amazing, God. And we are thankful that we can call you God, that we can celebrate who you are and all you've done. We thank you for providing financially for those of us that are in more need than others. And we thank you, God, when we come to you and we need, you know, a change in our job position, or even a job, that we can ask you and you provide. And we're thankful for that. And this morning too, God, I'm reminded, our country just seems like it's in a bit of chaos, no matter what side of the spectrum you're on. But God, it's our job and our privilege to pray for the leaders. And so we lift them up to you this morning. We ask you, God, that you will humble their hearts, that they will seek your face, and that they will look to you for wisdom and discernment and just turn to you and know that you are the God of this country. You founded this place, and we're going to stand firm as believers, knowing that you're going to carry us through what sometimes feels like a lot of chaos. We thank you, God, that you do carry us through our deepest troubles, our concerns, and we also celebrate with you and you celebrate with us our victories. Because here's the deal. How great are you, God? Amen.
Sing that again, name of all names.
You are worthy of all praise. Shout out for sure. Y'all can be seated. I agree with Tammy in that we've already experienced such a beautiful morning together, hearing truth through the worship, through our prayer time, and it's such a privilege to be here with you. My name is Brenda, and this is me. Oscar, get in here. Do you hear me? It is cold out there. You need to get inside. Oscar, by the way, is our dog, not a kid. He is hearing me. He is not listening to me. So we're entering into this second talk in this series of see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Last week, Jean talked to us about the seeing no evil and how he just encouraged us and implored us to see with the eyes of Jesus, to see beyond what our natural eye sees in a human, and to look through that lens of love. And today we get to talk about the hear no evil. And this one, I believe, has two components. There's hearing and there's listening, as I just talked about with our dog. Now, I know that it, for some reason, just seemed like it was a little more admissible to talk about my dog than to admit that I may have used those tones with my kids when they were younger. And if you've got kids or if you've seen kids, they sometimes do this thing of, and even if they don't actually physically cover their ears, in their heart, they're not listening, and it can be super frustrating. And I want to pause just now. If you got a piece of paper, don't let it be a distraction to you at this moment. I'll tell you when we get to it. If you don't have one, you might want to just raise your hand, and somebody from the host team can get you a paper. Riddle me this. How much dirt is in a hole that is 7 feet high, how about yay, and 4.5 feet in diameter? Anybody know the answer? Real quick. Chris? None. Oh, you guys are so smart. There's no dirt in a hole. Right. Okay. Anybody get distracted with those numbers? When I ran this by Jeannie, he's like, yeah, I don't like math. And I'm like, oh, what is that equation again? So if we're not listening, really, really listening, sometimes we can be distracted. And you know as well as I do, there are a lot of distractions in life. And as I was thinking about that this morning, I was thinking, what are some of the distractions that we might face? Like even as we're sitting here right now, some of you may be distracted because I am a woman speaking to you. Some of you may have been distracted during worship with the lights. sometimes they get kind of crazy up there and they dance around, and that may be distracting. Maybe it's a voice. Maybe it's somebody's voice or the way they dress or their hair. Who knows? There are all sorts of things that can distract us, that things that can keep us from hearing, really hearing each other, and from hearing God. Now, around here, we try really hard to eliminate as many distractions as we can, because we know our propensity toward being distracted. So if anybody that's on the worship team, anybody that's in this place speaking, our prayer people, people on the host team, we make everybody wear clothes. Okay, you were listening. Thank you. Okay, but for real, let's go back to these two words, hearing and listening. So to hear is sensory. So it's physically being able to experience the sense of sound. So if we've been gifted with one of our five senses of hearing and we can hear, we can physically experience the sense of sound. So again, hearing is an ability. It can be passive. Okay, did you all just hear that fan turn off? I couldn't have cued that any better. Because we may have not, I didn't think about it that the fan was running. I was hearing it, but I wasn't acknowledging it, and I wasn't really thinking about it until it turned off. So in this space, we have lots of things that we're hearing, but really aren't giving a whole lot of energy to. So we can process what we want, or we can block it out. When Jean is in the zone, prepping usually for a Sunday morning talk, I know when he needs to concentrate. He'll got his earbuds, he'll pop in his earbuds, put on some tunes, close the door, and block me out. I'm just kidding. I don't take it personally, but I know, okay, he is in the zone, and he is blocking out everything else around him that might be a distraction. For me, popping in earbuds would be a huge distraction. I would have nothing for you this morning if that's the way I prepared. But we all do that differently. Listening, on the other hand, now is a choice. We purpose to hear. So how do we listen? Do we listen to respond to somebody? Or are we listening to understand? Maybe are we listening with our head, or are we listening with our heart? Perhaps we're listening through that filter of, you know what, you have something really helpful to say to me, some helpful instruction. Or I can listen to you through that lens or that filter of, oh, here we go again. What are you going to tell me I'm doing wrong? What's, you know, always Debbie Downer. Listening with intention is to apply the ability to hear deliberately for the heart behind the words. So maybe we could say hearing is a sense, and listening is maybe to have sense. Listening is that gateway to understanding and communicating. So why is it that we sometimes cover our ears? So maybe we, again, we don't maybe do this like our kids would, but we do it in our hearts. Maybe we don't, if we're afraid of conflict, perhaps, maybe we don't want to engage each other, because if I engage in conversation with you, I might have all these emotions raise up in me, and then I'm going to have to deal with it. And I don't like conflict. Perhaps I don't want to hear instruction. I don't want to hear any kind of correction. I'm just like, la, 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 I'm not listening. I don't hear you. Or maybe because hearing and listening demands a response. And that takes effort, time, and emotion. So with each other, you and I, we have to listen with the heart of God, to hear the heart of the matter. What is behind the words, beyond those distractions? But in order to do that with each other, we've got to know the heart of God so that we can listen to and for, and we have to listen to and listen for his voice. So a few questions we want to explore this morning. What do I hear from God? What do others hear from me? And what do I want somebody that does not yet know Jesus to hear? So the first one, what do I hear from God when I choose to listen? When I choose to listen without expectations of the way he's going to answer and how he's going to answer or how he's going to speak to me, I really don't know the answer anyhow, right? What do I hear without the distractions? And sometimes they're hard. The kids, the dog, the phone, the doorbell, whatever it might be in the course of our everyday life. And again, like we talked about here this morning in a worship space, what are those distractions? Can I push past them to hear what God wants to speak to me? Can I listen with an open mind and an open heart, with expectancy? We expect that God is going to speak, that he's going to reveal truth, that he is going to show us truth. He's going to drop ideas into our minds. Maybe he'll speak to us in a dream. But we come to him, and if we come to him with that expectancy and just know that he's going to speak to us, what might he say? Matthew 11:28 is one of many verses where he just says, come to me. Come to me. And in Luke 10:41, we have the story of Martha and Mary. And if you're not familiar with it, Jesus is visiting Martha and Mary. And Martha is busy, busy, busy trying to get things ready for guests. And Mary is sitting down attentively in front of Jesus, absorbing every revelation he's sharing. And Martha's just getting exasperated because she's like, Jesus, like, can you see what's happening here? I'm doing all this work and here Mary sits. She is not helping me at all. And I love his response. He says, Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions? Are they really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. Where do you find yourself? I've been convicted recently, and I noticed that I highlighted and dated that word undistracted on July 16th. So I think I've been challenged with that whole thing of not being distracted. Did you hear the fan again? There it goes. Okay, riddle me this. A man correctly guesses the score of every football game before kickoff. How does he do it? Anybody? 0-0 is the score before kickoff of every football game. I know. Sometimes we make it too hard. And I think sometimes we make hearing God too hard. I know I won't trick you with something like that again. It's this thing of looking beyond the words sometimes. And I believe with all my heart that if we posture ourselves to look and listen expectantly, that we will see, we will hear the voice of God. So another question, at Restore here at our gatherings, so Sunday mornings here, we do dinner parties during the summer, we'll have crews once we get in our new building, those times that we're together, or maybe in your interactions at work, in your families, in your communities, all those opportunities, what do we want others to hear? So if they were eavesdropping, what do we want others to hear? Or maybe I should ask, what will they hear? I think this can be perhaps a challenge for us. Are they going to hear evil or love? Are they going to hear judgment or grace? Will they hear fear or love? Will they hear selfishness, all about me? Or will they hear a selflessness? Will they hear gossip? Or will they hear encouragement and praise? Now, I use the word evil, and that may seem a little strong, for words like judgment, fear, selfishness, and gossip. But again, evil is something we define as that thing that does not line up with the truth of who God is. So I'll let you just discern for yourselves if you agree with me on that one. What we listen to and who we listen to are really going to help inform the answer to those questions of what do I hear when I listen to God, and what do others hear when they listen to me? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 3:6, or it'll be on the screen behind me. He alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on an entirely new covenant. Our ministry is not based on the letter of the law, but through the power of the Spirit. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit pours out life. Only the Spirit gives life. The letter, let's describe that as, or I'll say we can read words all day. I don't know about you, but I've usually got a couple books that I'm reading. And they're fabulous books for information, for inspiration. We can listen to podcasts, music, we can watch YouTube videos. We've got all these great things, but do we just hear the words or see the words? And that's it? Or do we allow the Holy Spirit to take those words to transform us and restore us and change us by applying what we're hearing? Putting into action the words. There's no life in the words themselves. So that's what it means when it says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit is what puts it into action. We turn to Luke 6, 46 to 49. This can be a little strong, but stay with me. What good does it do for you to say that I am your Lord and Master if what I teach you is not put into practice? Let me describe the one who truly follows me and does what I say. He is like a man who chooses the right place to build a house and then lays a deep and secure foundation. When the storms and floods rage against that house, it continues to stand strong and unshaken through the tempest. For it has been wisely built on the right foundation. But the one who has heard my teaching and does not obey it is like a man who builds his house without laying a foundation whatsoever. When the storms and floods rage against that house, it will immediately collapse and become a total loss. Which of these two builders will you be? He gives us a pretty clear picture here of imploring us to put our words into action. So what that might mean is when we hear words of love, words that describe the way of Jesus, but then we go to work and we rage on people at work, or perhaps we gossip and slander and so on. Like, that's not putting into practice what we're hearing. Hope that makes sense for you. Walking the Jesus way and this way of love happens in knowing Christ, not just knowing about him. Like, our walk has got to match our talk. I was trying to think of an example for this. For some reason, skydiving came to me, and I will never skydive. I would have to be gagged, bound, diapered, drugged, I don't know what. Like, it is something I will never do. Gene, on the other hand, it's on his bucket list, isn't it, hon? Yeah, it's something he really wants to do. And I can imagine him telling you about the exhilaration of jumping out of this plane and free-falling for a while until the parachute grabs him. And then he's just kind of floating through the air, seeing the magnificence of God's creation with this bird's eye view. And then if you'd ask him, well, have you done it? And he says, well, no. I think you'd be like, well, what do you know what you're talking about then? Like, talk to me once you've done it. We've got to apply what we know about Jesus and his love. And then as we love like Jesus loves, when we experience him, others will see Jesus in us and through us. We're not just hearing the words, but our words are in action. I want to talk a little bit about whose voice we give authority as well, because we have choices when it comes to that. Do I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to me? Do you trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to you? Or must we put our trust in what a human has said about what the Holy Spirit has said to him or her? I'm going to say that again. Do you trust that the Holy Spirit will speak directly to you? Or have you put all of your trust in another human and what the Holy Spirit has said to that human? Have we put our faith in others and in the opinion of others for so long that we have deafened our ability to hear the Spirit for ourselves? Now, I know this is an easy habit to get into. And all of those things, reading books, listening to podcasts, worship music, all that stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I wonder what we miss sometimes when we don't just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him for ourselves. Because if I'm listening to a human, I've got to decide, well, which human, and do they really know truth? It can get complicated a little bit that way. Information, if not applied, is just information. So if I'm just listening again to the opinion of others, and I'm not discerning it for myself and allowing the Spirit to actually move in me, and I'm not applying the words I'm hearing, it is just information. And information does not bring about transformation. Another voice we have the choice to listen to or not is our enemy. Satan wants to whisper all kinds of stuff in our ears all the time. He says, you're not good enough. You're too much. Or maybe you're not enough. You're not smart. All of those things. So do we choose to entertain that voice? Or do we choose to remember the truth of who God says that we are? Third question that we want to entertain is, what do we want those that don't yet know Jesus to hear? And I just want to say, if you're here this morning and you haven't quite decided if that's a step you want to take, I want you to hear that Jesus loves you. He loves you unconditionally. He died for you. He's done all the work so that you can live in this life of love. And you just need to surrender to him. Surrender your will to his will and walk in this way of love. But sometimes I wonder if we're using a lot of churchy words or we're making it too complicated. Maybe throwing in some rules and regulations. And try as they may not be able to understand what we're saying, no matter how hard they try or how well they listen. So now we're going to take our papers. Everybody want to grab your paper? And I saw some of you fold them up and put them in your coat pocket or something, so make sure it's open like this. Grab your paper. And you just hold it up in front of you. It doesn't have to be high. I'm going to give you some directions. You won't be able to ask me any questions. Just do what you think I'm saying. Try not to look at your neighbor. I'm not going to make you close your eyes. But just do what you think I'm saying. Okay, ready? Fold the paper in half. Next, I'm going to have you neatly tear off the top right corner. It's pretty easy, huh? I'm going to have you fold it in half again. Rotate it 90 degrees to the left and tear off the top right corner. Fold it neatly in half again. Getting a little bit harder now, isn't it? Now I'm going to have you neatly tear off the bottom right corner. Fold it in half one more time. And again, tear off that bottom right corner. All right, before you do anything else, all those scraps you just tore off, please put them in your pocket or in the purse closest to you, something. Just please don't throw them on the floor. I'm going to have a mess to clean up. All right, now open up your paper. This is almost like making snowflakes, isn't it? So what does yours look like? Anybody's look like mine? Look at all these different papers. How cool is that? So I am kind of a numbers junkie, and I did the probability, and there's over 1,000 possibilities with the directions I gave you. So fun Dennis is looking at me through his eyes. Were any of you frustrated with this exercise? Jean has two papers. I love it. I love it, love it. Anybody frustrated with the choices that I wasn't super clear about? Well, which way do I fold it? Do I fold it side to side, top to bottom, left to right? Which way do I fold it? And what is 90 degrees anyhow? Were any of you frustrated with that? Were you frustrated with how different ours all are? Perhaps. Maybe you were distracted. Did you really want to look at your neighbor when you weren't sure what to do? Okay, observations from this fun little exercise. We want to keep it simple. For someone that does not yet know Jesus and this way of love, we want to keep it simple. Matthew 11 has a beautiful scripture, and it's going to be, again, on the screen behind me. Jesus exclaimed, "Father, thank you. For you are Lord, the supreme ruler over heaven and earth, and you have hidden the great revelation of your authority from those who are proud and wise in their own eyes. Instead, you have shared it with those who are humble themselves. Yes, Father, your plan delights your heart as you've chosen this way to extend your kingdom by giving it to those who have become like trusting children." So let's think about this way of Jesus through the eyes of a child. A child, as we think of, is innocent, and they're fully trusting. Their love is unconditional without even trying. As adults, I think we let our intellect get in the way. What I'd want to tell you about your paper and this exercise that we just did is that I want you to hear that no matter what your paper looks like, the exercise, and this is, again, an analogy, but it's about spending time with you. It's not about how well you did. Mostly what people need is not a brilliant mind that speaks, but a special heart that listens. So simply speak love, that unconditional love like a child. Live love like a child, keeping it simple. He goes on to say in verses 28 and 29, again, this is where he says, "Come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life to mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find rest and refreshment in me." Simply join your life to mine. Another observation is that sometimes, actually often, the voice of God isn't precise, and he lets us make choices. And just like all of our papers, you know what, guys? Every single one of your papers was right. Nobody got it wrong. They're all different. But that's how God is with us. He walks with us. He moves with us. And we all have a different call on our lives. We're going to operate differently. We're going to approach life differently. We're going to approach conversations differently. But it's all okay. We are all unique, and we are all going to do this thing of walking the way of love a little bit differently. So let's not make the gospel complex and confusing. Show people the way of Jesus without judgment and rules and expectations. Show that way of love and grace. That is what we want people to hear, right? When we know God, when we're fully trusting again like that child, when we're confident in his voice and in his love, when we're not listening to the voice of the enemy who is talking to us about judgment and condemnation, when we're surrendered fully with open hands and open hearts, experiencing his goodness and his favor, we can then discern. We can discern next steps. We can hear truth about ourselves. We can see those things that are really just distractions. We can discern the voices. Friends, the Holy Spirit never speaks fear. Never. The Holy Spirit whispers love, kindness, and the goodness of the Father. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. That's in the Bible. Fear, it's that cruel voice of the accuser that's bound to the law and to religion. It's evil. Grace, on the other hand, is that sweet song of the Spirit that washes and cleanses, informs, and guides us. So I encourage you to yield your hearing. Listen to the Spirit's gentle voice. I know it may not always feel gentle when there's some course correction necessary, but the Holy Spirit will always speak to you through love, not fear. So let's listen for the voice of God, past whatever distractions are out there, past the lies, past the fear, listening for the voice of God. And let's speak so that others can hear Jesus, so that the words we're speaking are Jesus and our love and our life, and we're keeping it simple. And with each other, let's hear each other with that love and with that heart of God. Again, hearing past the words to the heart, listening with that intention to hear. Hear each other, to hear God. I invite you to stand. And I want to invite the prayer team forward. They'll be standing up here in the front. They won't be all the way up here to the stage, but just in the front row here. And I just encourage you to come up. And if you need a prayer for healing, for encouragement or support, anything at all, if you come forward for prayer, it doesn't mean something's wrong. I think we can use this time to have someone pray over us, just words of life and love and encouragement. But obviously also if they have a particular need that you want to share with them. Take advantage of the time. And as we move into this last song in this time of one more song of worship, I challenge you to contemplate how it is that you can apply a truth that you heard this morning. Quiet your hearts, close your eyes, and listen for that gentle voice that whispers to your heart with love, not fear and condemnation. Jesus, I ask that you give us ears to hear the simplest truths. Truths of who you are, truths of who we are, why we're here. Show us how to listen with love, with our friends, our family, our coworkers. Show us how to listen and then to walk in that love applying the things that we're hearing, the things that the Spirit is saying to us, the things that we're reading, the things that we're hearing, applying them to our lives and then walking it out so that someone who does not yet know you can see you, can hear you. God, we listen with expectancy and ask that you would just speak to us. Friends, if your first step today was just choosing Jesus and inviting him into your heart, I encourage you to come forward and let someone pray with you. Jesus wants you, and he's already in love with you.